A discipline I use every single day is thinking about the story I'm making up. Julie and I recorded this podcast well over 2 years ago, and since then, we keep on hearing it over and over in our learning, in other podcasts that we're listening to, or in seminars that we attend. Now, your story is how you are creating a narrative of your experience, and that powerfully shapes your emotion, and that drives your thoughts, and of course, that influences your actions. This was a great delight to talk to my friend about the stories that we no longer believe in and the stories that we're creating in the moment. And as I celebrate a big birthday in my life, I think about just the story of my last decade and my friendships and the growth that I've experienced and the challenges. And I'm really honored to share this time with you now here.
Welcome to the Executive Shaman Podcast, where Dr. Crystal White and her comrades guide us to bring more wholeness, energy, and connectivity to our professions. We're ready, Crystal. Get us started.
Welcome to Slow Down and Grow Up.
This is a podcast that creates space for you to slow down and consider your life with intention in order for you to be your best self. And I'm Dr. Crystal White.
Julie Webb Keltepe.
And I would say we're friends.
I would hope so.
That's my belief.
It's been a long time.
So we have a question for you out there. What is something that you believed in your childhood that you no longer believe in as an adult? Good question, don't you think?
I think it's a good question.
Yeah. Tell me one of your responses.
Well, I mean, there's the obvious things like Santa Claus, mm-hmm. Tooth Fairy. But
did you believe in the Easter Bunny?
Sort of. Yeah, I must have. I don't remember not.
Yeah, you don't remember not believing. Ooh, that's fun.
Right. I remember when those things kind of wore off, but yeah. I don't remember.
Is there something that is sticking out to you that really made a difference when you stopped believing in it?
I think as an adult, or probably like college, post-college, the whole sort of sheen on those holidays kind of wore off, yeah. You know, the anticipation of them kind of wasn't as sparkly.
Yeah. You know what I used to believe in as a kid? I used to believe that if you just like did your best, your own like best, like things would work out. And now I realize that there's a system there. And if I mess up or I do my best and things don't work out, maybe it's not my fault or I'm to blame for that. But I really think that like my Western, you know, culture really said, work hard, and you can do anything. Success is right around the corner. And it was pretty shocking when I realized that working hard doesn't necessarily give you, like, the good life.
Right. But that's more than a belief. Isn't that, like, a sort of an entire internal narrative that you sort of base your decisions on?
Yeah. You know, like, adults have beliefs that they choose, that they adopt, and then they cluster them together, and they create stories. And I like stories, you know, narratives and stories are really what makes our world tick. It is how we make meaning of our experiences, how we fuel like our motivations and our desires and how we look at ourselves internally and other people. Everything that we do in life is based on beliefs and a story. Very, very, very little is just based on fact. So like, for example, You observe that the sun is rising and setting every single day. You don't observe that the earth is rotating around the sun, right?
But no, somebody tells you that.
Somebody tells you that. We think it's a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, time is a fact. Time exists. Mm-hmm. When really what it is it's a belief that you believe that it's 11 o'clock or you believe that it's 11:25. Now, that story of time has a lot of functionality. I choose to believe in the story of time because it helps us be able to work together on a team. It manages expectations. It makes things more certain. And it facilitates human connection and productivity, right? So as an adult, kind of realized in philosophy class in seminary, time is an illusion. It's a story. It's a narrative. And it's one that I choose. And adults really, when they slow down, are empowered when they consider, wow, this is an interpretation of facts that I have conglomerated together in a narrative. Mm-hmm. Do you have an experience like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I've talked about this once before. You know, I think I grew up with this internal dialogue about what smart girls do and what smart girls don't do. Right? Yeah. So, for example, like, smart girls are not silly. And smart girls are not coquettish.
Ooh, what do you mean?
I mean, sort of like using their feminine wiles to get things accomplished or flirting.
Coquettish. Yeah. Wow. I've got a story right now how your vocabulary is probably better than mine.
That is probably not true. But and then, you know, something is even as simple, and this is like, I think this is to me is a very concrete example, but it really drives it home, is I really thought growing up, like, if smart girls don't read romance novels.
Oh.
Right? That is not what smart girls do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, why I would never be caught reading something like
smart
that.
Smart girls don't watch Real Wives of House.
Like reality television.
Yeah. Or anything on Bravo. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Which is so funny because somebody just said to me this week, hey, Crystal, you should have a show on Bravo. So I was like,
Smart girls don't do that.
Smart girls don't do that. That's so neat.
But I know now that you know, those beliefs, which probably some came from the way I was reinforced, you know, as a child, what I got praised for and what I didn't, and some is just shit I made up.
Yeah.
Actually shaped the way I went into interactions and shaped my expectation of what would happen. Just like you, if you mm-hmm. work hard, if you're smart, if you try to be above the board, then these things should all work out. And sometimes it's not the most linear, direct way to get things done.
Yeah.
You have to use the back door or, you know, open up, build bridges, interpersonal bridges. I thought if you were just good at your job and you were smart, like,
you'd be happy.
You'd be happy. You'd get promoted. But back to the romance novel thing, I never read them. I never read them growing up. I never read any of that. Like, for a long time, I didn't even read fiction. Mm-hmm. Like, this was, like, a really kind of ingrained belief and story I told myself. And then, oddly, but in character, driving home one day, I listened to a podcast on NPR, and they were talking about this website called Smart Bitches Trashy Books. And about how you can go on there and you can, like, look at all of these romance novels, whatever. So I was just curious based on the story, you know, based on the NPR story. So I did, and, you know, it's opened, like, a whole world of literature up to me that I never would have even thought about before. And, you know, some of it is not stuff I'm into, but, like, there's value in a lot of what I've read in the last year and a half. All that I avoided my entire, like, growing up because of this belief system that was just, you know, it was just a narrative that I told myself. It's just a story. I mean, that's just kind of like a silly example.
I know, but you
people
shut down.
Tell themselves all kinds of things that are really damaging.
No, I do. And not just about myself. You know, obviously, one thing that you got out of this reading some trashy romantic novels is pleasure. You are happier.
Yeah.
And I think that people, the most insidious is when we're making up stories about other people to fit our expectations of them. And you know when somebody's making up a story about you. Like, if you're in a confrontation, somebody has a story about you or the we or the us of your team that doesn't align with your story. And we want to convince them our story is the right story. And they want to convince us, no, my story is the right story. When confrontation is the key to learning, because you don't ever learn through sameness, there has to be a difference there of some sort to get your brain to be like, oh, something new. Like, that's why NPR works sometimes, because you're exposed to something new and you accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So confrontation is the search for a co-created truth. It's always a search for co-created truth. And the most beautiful thing is when somebody sees you rather than their story of you. Where you are seen rather than interpreted. Now, you know, this has happened pretty powerfully for me. One day I was in this executive leadership course that I run, and somebody said, you are such a great dresser. You're so fashionable. And I laughed because if you know me, if you know the Crystal, I'm so not. There's a wall of dresses I have. It's not because I like dresses or I'm fashionable. It's because it's easy. I just pluck one down and I don't have to hem anything. And this person was like, but you're still fashionable. And I say, I just don't see myself that way. And that was like an aha that, oh, this person, I might be fashionable, even though I never considered myself that. And that person then saw me like, well, wait, she might not be fashionable. You're really a Tom girl? And I was like, oh, yeah, you should see me like outside of here. It's like all workout clothes or something. And this was like built our relationship. And so we want to slow down and question our stories because perception is reality.
Right. Yeah. So how do you change that?
Especially like you're as a medical provider, right?
Right.
When do you see this happening in the medical field? Perception changing.
Well, I think with some of my adult patients, we have to unpack the story that they tell themselves about whatever deficit is that they have. And there's a lot of like, well, it's because of this. Well, it's because of this. Well, it's because of that. And sometimes it is, you know, sometimes it's because of X, Y, or Z, but sometimes it's not.
Right.
You know, and sometimes we have to really face what the root cause really is.
Yeah. Listen, if you're in medicine, you understand that your patients have stories like my child has autism because of vaccinations, or my child has autism because one time I think we heard a story that the mom had like maca powder or something and mm-hmm. smoothies, and this came out like the third or fourth session that we were evaluating the kiddo, and she thought that what she was drinking in the smoothie was responsible for her child's autism. And we even did a genetic panel, and the kid clearly, very randomly, had a genetic abnormality. And for 3 years, this mom had a story that she did this.
Right.
And it was one of the most powerful things to say, well, we've got evidence of this, and we understand that you think it's the maca in your smoothies. You get to decide what story you're telling yourself. And one imprisons you, and one sets you free. Yeah. And what I would like to say is divorce your past. Divorce the past stories that are no longer working, are imprisoning you, and marry the truth. And guess what? You're an adult. You're going to make the truth up. You're going to make up the story. And it powerfully shapes how you see other people, how you see your problems, how you see the great things in your life. And that's what adults do. They choose what they believe in. They choose it. And they own it when they understand that right. That's just something I'm making up. That's
so back to Sisyphus.
Yeah.
Ah!
From last session.
And you're the owning person it. Who's like pushing that rock up and down the hill, and you have this aha moment that you're like, this is not what I want my life to be.
Yeah.
What do you do to start again? Mirroring your truth, looking at yourself and thinking about these stories, these narratives that are, I think things run through your head in like sort of, they're like open files on a computer and they're running in the background. Whether you're consciously thinking about it in the moment or not, it's running in the background. These narratives are running in the background and they take up space.
Yeah.
They slow down your processing. They can be really hurtful and cause you to make decisions that maybe you otherwise wouldn't make if you changed your mindset about them, whatever the narrative is. But if you're stuck and you're the guy who's got the rock and every day is pushing it back up the hill, what would be like three things you would need to do to start changing that? Or obviously say these things out loud to someone.
Yep.
That you trust.
You know what? The hardest part, I think, is saying, I have a story that I have right now, and I would like to check it out with a person that you trust. The thing I find about stories is they're contagious.
Right.
So this cultural story of, like, sexy women look like this or smart women look like this. Even, like, what a marriage looks like, that's a narrative that our culture has bought into, what education is like. And we proliferate these stories onto other people, and I think that's the most dangerous thing. If you're not questioning your story, then most of the time you're a problem for other people. And we think that people are problems for us. I got a couple of people that I would say that might be problem people for me. That is a story. You're looking at somebody and be like, he's a problem, she's a problem, this politics is a problem. We're like all problem, you know, detectives, and they're jumping out like weeds, and we're like whacking the weeds, and they just keep on popping up because somehow we tell our story our stories like we have to fix everything as adults. No, that's a story. Right. So choose one. It's just to be aware that you are interpreting things all the time. Human beings are made to make meaning, and everything that you're thinking right now, most of the time, it is a conglomeration of your story and a little bit of fact. And fact is only something that you can observe. So step one, what can you observe directly? So give me something in the room that you see right now, Julie, that you see and you can observe directly that you would say is a fact.
My coffee cup.
What about your coffee cup?
It's a silver tumbler made by Bodum.
Yeah.
With red.
Silver.
Silver.
Yeah. Yeah, and if that's, I would say that I would agree that that's a fact. It's a coffee cup, and it definitely is a commercialized coffee cup, and cool people drink from that.
That's a story.
That's a story, right?
Yeah.
I need coffee. That is a story.
Yes. Depending on your addiction level to caffeine.
Well, everybody, I could self-publish that I own my stories that I need coffee. So that this is something that's really interesting. You could observe facts. And the way that we help people do this is just be like a sportscaster. Sportscasters that are really, really, really engaging and you want to listen to are the ones that if you closed your eyes, you are there at the game. And they don't typically... old sportscasters, they don't typically make up a story. They don't say, you know, boy, that was a spectacular move of a lifetime. Now they do. Mm-hmm. But in the old days, they just didn't. They just reported the facts. And so really try to point out the facts.
Okay, so that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I would say, I don't know if you would agree with me, but I think you need to practice that new narrative. You need to try it out.
Yeah, so first and foremost, if you want a new narrative, you have to divorce the old. So Right. Let's get, that would be number three. You have to practice it. But if number one is noticing the stories that you're making up and then sharing them with other people, like, I think this is a story that I'm fat. Oh Lord, that is a story. Mm-hmm. You might weigh something and that's a fact. We can measure it. It's clear. Or you might weigh and a number comes up and the number is X, Y, and Z, but you are fat, story. I'm unhealthy, story. I'm ugly, story. My husband finds me not sexy, story. All those things are stories.
Right.
And when you share them with friends, like I have a story right now, or when you hear another person having a story that you think is damaging to their relationship, their team, the organization, themselves, I would build an expectation that you encourage each other to question it and point it out. That's just a story.
Okay, so summarize one and two.
So one is... you know, pay attention to your stories. And two is find people that you can share your stories with and commit to when you hear people saying stories to notice when they're telling stories. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a relationship with them, be like, you know, that's just a story. Do you have an example of when somebody said that's just a story?
To me?
Yeah. Or that's a belief.
Not one that comes up.
I just did it for you like 10 minutes ago.
You did?
You know, I was asking you to like meet me and change your schedule and get around. And you're like, I can't do that. And I was like, what? That's a story.
That's a story.
That's a belief that you can't do it.
Story that I'm going to, you know, not change.
Yeah. Well, no, your decision you won't change.
Yeah.
And the story, yeah, you'll say, no, I actually think that's my truth. That's my narrative. I'm going to follow my truth.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a belief that you can't move your schedule or you can't get out of something or you can't change your mind. That's a story. I can't change. This isn't going to change, right? Marriage is hard. Anytime somebody's like, marriage is hard, I'm like, that's a narrative. And you're spreading that narrative to all of us single people.
You're infecting it.
Same with parenthood.
Like, yeah.
Someone is have relationships where you are calling each other out on your stories.
Yeah.
Especially when somebody comes to you and they're in a conflict with somebody else, because that's a story in and of itself. Do you want to be married or do you want to be right? Or do you want to be here anymore? What do you want?
Right.
Align your story to fit with what your true heart desires.
And I think that's – so it takes a lot of – you have to be brave. to change her story, right?
Yeah, and committed to.
And committed to it. And sometimes you're not ready to publish it. I don't know. I think, for me, I do a lot of thinking about my thinking. One might call it metacognition. And I think playing things out in my head, changing the narrative, thinking about what that would look like, what does that feel like, what does it sound like, mm-hmm. what would it be to be X,
yeah.
to change the story, is helpful.
Well, research would show with leaders, with parents, with partners, when you're thinking about the way that you think, that helps you master your emotions as well. Because your stories fuel your emotional mindset. And your emotional mindset definitely impacts your behavior. I mean, you can see it physiologically when somebody has an emotional mindset of what I'm about ready to say is going to be rejected.
Yeah.
Or this person is better than me for this reason. Or like, you're wrong and let me show you how wrong you are, sort of thing. So thinking about your thinking is the number one competitive advantages for CEOs. It's so high that it is more important than a college degree or any position that you hold. It will determine your success to lead a team better than any other predictor or characteristic.
And we know when people don't do it.
Yeah. Okay, so the third thing is, you know, after you kind of publish it or find some ways. If you don't trust anybody else, that's a story. Like, you know, I can't find friends and stuff. We'll talk about that next time, I think, right, how to find a friend. But what I know is that people that come to me and be like, I'm struggling with this, and I think I'd like to change this about myself, that's where I'm like, this is a person I want in my life.
Sure.
Because then it inspires me to do the same. So if you divorce your old story, and when you're going through a divorce, you need support. So you find, like, your wino friends to give you love and nourishment through that season. Then you have to – it's time to, like, marry a new one. Because you can't not make stories. It's impossible for people not to have narratives.
Right.
So you have to practice this new story. And we say that – is by owning it. I am married to the story. I choose this story. This story is working for me. So how would you practice it?
Personally?
Mm-hmm.
I rehearse it in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
Out
I mean, yeah. Just really very concretely. I mean, like you would teach somebody to get through some sort of pragmatic function in their life. But I grew up in a house where my mother coached me from a very young age in, like, this role-playing thing. So, you know, like, she wanted me to be independent. She would send me into the dry cleaners and say, go get the dry cleaning. But the whole ride to the dry cleaners was, what are you going to say? What are they going to say? What if they say this?
Yeah.
You know, kind of this, you know, I think it was just sort of ingrained in me at a really young age. And, you know, for example, like... the situation with us and the infertility that went on for, you know, so long and, like, coming to terms with that.
Yeah.
I would do a lot of, like, playing out those narratives in my head, A, B, C, and D, in great detail on my commute.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, processing it, in a true narrative, like, what does that story look like if you have children? What does the story look like if you do IVF and it fails? What does the story look like if you adopt? And really kind of...
Visualizing
it. Yep. Yeah, a lot of visualization. Yeah. And
so, cool research again, like, when you're visualizing or practicing something, it activates the same part of your brain as when you're actually doing it. That's an amazing feat of human evolution that we can... have a brain, like, practice it in our brain, and it's exactly what's happening when we experience it. Now, it's different if you've never had that experience, because then you're visualizing something that reality actually gets there. We're really bad at predicting the future. But I think that saying out loud, like, if you want to change the narrative that you're ugly, or that you're ugly, I'm unattractive, and saying, like, I'm attractive, Right. I mean, I always like.
But also, I think, you know, in my way of processing things would be like playing out scripts in my head that validated whatever it was that I was trying to change or trying to work on. You know, what's a scenario where you walk into a bar and you get clear, obvious feedback from the guy behind the bar that you're not unattractive?
Right.
What does that look like? What does it sound like? What does it smell like in the bar?
Yep.
Like, how do I?
Yeah,
it's almost like retraining.
Absolutely.
The mindset.
Right. So once you're divorcing your old story, find things in your environment that refute your old story.
Not true.
You know, so you can find things around that. Okay, so this is my story. Today I'm going to find three things that is the opposite of my story. You will find it. And then for my idea of practice is like, you have this new story. Find three things today that confirm that story. I never ever thought that I was pretty. Ever. Until I think maybe the last 2 years. And then all of a sudden someone's like, you know that you're an attractive person and that he's just doing that for you because you're attractive. One, that's a story. But I was like, oh my gosh, I think he did. And then I was just seeing it all around me. And that is so much more empowering than a story of, it doesn't really matter. Because before, the looks really didn't matter. And now it's like, wait, I am beautiful. I'm a beautiful person. And that is something that if I had a friend, I see her beauty. If I have a baby, a girl, I want her to see her beauty.
Right.
If I have a lover in my life, he is flipping beautiful. I do not want a lover that has like, I'm okay. I don't. How much better would the world be if we all just walked around feeling beautiful, bold, brilliant? So practice your stories. Find ways to verbalize it multiple times in the day. Share it with somebody that you trust, and then find evidence of this new story in your life.
Yeah, validate it.
Yeah. And then after that, go watch Star Wars, because that's a pretty cool
story. Or read a romance novel.
Or,
by the way.
Or give your good friends romance novels when they might be going through a breakup. All right, guys, that's it for Slow Down and Grow Up. We'll talk to you next time.
Take care.